The information in this skill is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Multiple Sclerosis Flash Briefings.
Hi, I'm Price Wooldridge, and you're listening to Multiple Sclerosis News Today's audio news. These are today's news highlights curated by our editorial staff. Visit our website at multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com for more relevant news and patient perspectives. Phase 1 data shows NVG-291 safe. Trial in MS patients anticipated. NVG-291, an experimental therapy designed to promote nervous system repair, has so far been well tolerated in an ongoing Phase 1 study with healthy volunteers. The Phase 1 study is progressing very well, and we are encouraged by the data we are seeing so far. Daniel Michal, MD, PhD, Chief Medical Officer of NVG-291's developer, NerveGen Pharma, said in a press release. NerveGen is expecting that results from the Phase 1 study will inform the doses used in early clinical trials in multiple sclerosis, spinal cord injury, and Alzheimer's disease that are expected to start later this year. The findings were shared at the American Academy of Neurology 2022 annual meeting in Seattle, Washington, in a presentation titled, A Placebo-Controlled Phase 1 Study of NVG-291 in Healthy Subjects, Targeting CNS Receptor Protein, Tyrosine Phosphatase, Sigma. NVG-291 is an investigational medication that modulates the activity of a specific region from the protein tyrosine phosphatase, or PTP-sigma, which normally acts to put the brakes on systems that help the nervous system repair itself from damage. By modulating PTP signals, NVG-291 is expected to help promote various mechanisms of nervous system repair, including remyelination, restoration of the myelin sheath that's damaged in MS. According to NerveGen, the experimental therapy has shown promise in animal models of MS and other neurological diseases. NerveGen is currently running a Phase 1 clinical trial to test NVG-291's safety and pharmacological properties in healthy volunteers. Interim results were presented by Michal at the AAN meeting. In the first portion of the trial, 37 healthy volunteers were given a single-dose subcutaneous injection of a placebo or NVG-291 at doses ranging from 0.032 to 0.864 milligrams per kilogram. Results showed the experimental treatment to be generally well-tolerated, with no serious side effects reported. The most common side effects associated with NVG-291 were reactions at the injection site, such as redness, pain, or itching. Following these early results, NerveGen was cleared to start a multiple ascending dose, or MAD, phase of the trial. There were participants receiving daily subcutaneous injections of NVG-291 or a placebo for 2 weeks, with an additional week of monitoring afterward. In the first MAD group, 4 participants received NVG-291 at a dose of 0.384 milligrams per kilogram, while 2 participants were given a placebo. While results from the MAD part are still blinded, researchers don't know which patients received the active treatment or the placebo. Safety data from the first MAD group were generally consistent with findings from the earlier ascending dose or SAD portion. The most commonly reported side effects were injection site reactions, and no serious events were reported. Also, no noteworthy changes in vital signs or laboratory parameters have been reported. Following a thorough safety evaluation, including a blinded review of adverse events, vital signs, and laboratory data, the Safety Review Committee approved advancing to the second MAD cohort, Michal said. The Safety Review Committee is a panel of outside experts who review data from the ongoing trial to ensure the safety of participants. The second MAD cohort will also enroll 6 people. 2 will be given a placebo, and 4 will receive NVG-291 at a dose of 0.576 milligrams per kilogram for 14 days. If all goes as expected, the third MAD cohort is expected to test NVG-291 at a dose of 0.864 milligrams per kilogram. Pharmacological data have generally been in line with expectations. The doses being tested in the MAD cohorts are higher than corresponding doses found to be effective in the animal models of disease. The results we are seeing in our Phase 1 study continue to be very promising. The dose of NVG-291 administered in the first cohort is already above the highest corresponding dose found to be efficacious in animal models and is substantially higher than the lower effective doses where dramatic functional improvements were observed. Paul Brennan, NerveGen's president and CEO, said, "We have now proceeded to evaluate a higher dose level in the second MAD cohort, and the blinded safety data observed so far are encouraging and highlight that we are a step closer to initiating the Phase 1b/2 efficacy studies in patients later in 2022," Brennan said. This news article was written by Marissa Wexler, MS, on April 8, 2022. Click the link in the description below to read more on this and other topics of interest on the MS News Today's website. Expert Voices: Improving Multiple Sclerosis Patient-Provider Relationships. In this installment of our Expert Voices series, Multiple Sclerosis News Today asked Annie Brewster, MD, to answer some of your questions about navigating difficult patient-provider relationships. Brewster is an assistant professor at Harvard Medical School and a practicing internist at Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston. She is also a patient living with MS since 2001. She founded Health Story Collaborative, a nonprofit that empowers patients in healthcare settings through storytelling. She is also the co-author of the new book, The Healing Power of Storytelling: Using Personal Narrative to Navigate Illness, Trauma, and Loss. Since your multiple sclerosis diagnosis, how has your perspective on patient-provider relationships shifted? When I was diagnosed with MS, I had just graduated from medical school and was in the middle of my residency training. As a young doctor, I would have said that I believed in nurturing positive relationships with my patients. Indeed, it was the promise of such relationships that drew me to medicine as a profession. But I didn't really get it until I became a patient myself. As a doctor, I had never really understood what it means to receive a life-changing diagnosis. I thought I did, but I didn't. I was superficially focused on the logistical challenges of managing a health condition, but I completely overlooked the deeper implications. Medical care is often framed as a detective hunt, a mystery to be solved. When a diagnosis is reached, doctors experience a sense of closure. End of story. In fact, for the patient, the story is just beginning. Being a patient has made me a much better doctor. As doctors, we are often with patients in vulnerable, turning point moments, such as when news of a life-changing medical diagnosis is delivered. How we behave in these moments matters. We become a character in each patient's story, and we will impact how that story unfolds from that moment. This is a responsibility, but also a privilege and an opportunity. I now clearly understand that a doctor's job is not simply to diagnose and manage diseases, but rather to partner with patients in the ongoing journey of navigating illness. Being a patient has also taught me to bring more humility to my medical practice. While it is my job as a doctor to share my knowledge and offer guidance, I now understand that the patient is always right. As a doctor, I need to honor and support my patients in their decisions, even if I might make a different choice. I have learned to be honest and straightforward, but to always leave space for hope and mystery, to support and guide, but not to direct. Ideally, patient-provider relationships are partnerships grounded in mutual respect. A quote from Paul Kalanithi in his book, When Breath Becomes Air, resonates. The physician's duty is not to stave off death or return a patient and family to their old lives, but to take into our arms a patient and family whose lives have disintegrated and work until they can stand back up and face and make sense of their own existence. Do you have a story of a moment that changed your view on patient-provider dynamics? In 2009, in my role as a doctor, I found myself having to deliver the news of an MS diagnosis to a 30-year-old patient. She was distraught, in tears, convinced that her life was over. She would never work. She would never get married and have children. She would be limited and diminished. In that moment, I made an offering. "I have MS myself," I told her. "I work. I have 4 children. I run, ski, and play hockey. My future is uncertain, and this is scary, but there is room for hope." She was so relieved. In that moment, she went from feeling defeated to glimpsing possibility. While I know that my sharing was the most healing thing I had to offer in that moment, in revealing personal information, physician to patient, I had crossed a line. I did so intentionally, in an effort to bring compassion to our exchange, but such border crossings are taboo within medicine. In our training, we are encouraged to cultivate empathy and connection with patients, make eye contact, lean in when we listen, reflect back what we have heard, and so on. But at the same time, we are taught to keep an emotional distance. The preservation of professional boundaries is essential to quality care. I don't disagree with this entirely. We never want to burden patients with our personal details. But true objectivity is a myth. We are human beings, and our personal experiences are at play in all of our interactions. Since I have become a patient myself, I have become less rigidly boundaried as a physician. I am more willing to share my own life with my patients. I see our shared humanity more clearly. I believe wholeheartedly that I can be a feeling, human doctor and still make sound medical decisions. What types of conversations do you think there should be more of between patients and physicians? There should be more conversations, period. Sadly, office visits often don't leave enough time for doctor and patient to converse. Studies show that when patients speak, physicians interrupt them within 11 seconds on average. Appointments are time-constrained, and doctors are taught to narrow in on a diagnosis and manage disease, to control the conversation instead of letting it unfold naturally. Doctors don't always listen well. This has to do with the limitations of the system, namely lack of time, and with the way doctors are trained. In medical education, we need to put more value on patients' stories and on quality listening. Learning about patients as human beings should be a priority. Are there questions you think more doctors ought to have in their tool belt when guiding a patient through difficult discussions, such as a diagnosis? What is most important to you right now? What do you value most? What does a good day look like to you? What do you hope for? What scares you the most? What do you do for self-care? Do you have people in your life who care for you? If so, who are they? In what ways would you improve training for doctors to help them assist patients in processing difficult news in healthcare settings? I would bring more patient voices into the training. We should consider patients the experts on their medical conditions and truly listen and learn from them. While some of this exists in medical education, it's not enough. We need more. For example, it would be helpful to hear patients with a particular diagnosis dialogue together so that doctors can learn more about the variability of different disease entities and about varied patient perspectives. As an example, I am now part of a webcast series called MS Confidential that features four individuals, I'm one of them, living with MS. Each episode has a theme, for example, hope, and we engage in candid conversations about what the theme means to each of us. Our viewpoints are varied, and it contextualizes the MS experience. I feel strongly that doctors in training should be exposed to such conversations. It should be a required part of the curriculum. What advice would you give to a patient who feels they are not seen or heard by a doctor? If it happens once, perhaps give the doctor a second chance. Maybe the doctor is having a particularly busy and/or stressful day. If it happens a second time, consider bringing it up directly to let the doctor know how you feel, assuming the relationship with this particular physician feels important to you. If the response is disappointing, or if you decide bringing it up isn't worth it to you, then find another doctor. You deserve to feel seen and heard. If a patient experiences difficult emotions in the healthcare setting, like dread, anxiety, or shame, what are good ways to approach the sharing of these discomforts with doctors? If such feelings arise, I suggest addressing them directly with your doctor. From a practical standpoint, we are never going to get what we need if we suffer in silence. As patients, we need to advocate for ourselves. This can be challenging in the context of our medical system, where the power dynamic privileges doctors and face-to-face time between patient and provider is so limited. But we need to believe that our personal experience matters, and that we, as patients, are the true experts when it comes to our health and well-being. If your doctor doesn't respond well, find a new doctor. You've done a lot of work in promoting the power of storytelling. How can stories improve patient-provider relationships? Patient-provider relationships are strained in today's healthcare system, but it is my belief that storytelling can begin to heal this rift. Ideally, we create more time and space for story exchange within medical appointments, with a focus on encouraging providers to prioritize listening to and honoring patient stories. Such sharing would undoubtedly strengthen patient-provider relationships and ultimately improve healthcare by building a foundation of trust. Unfortunately, time limitations inherent in the current medical system make this type of communication very rare. At Health Story Collaborative, the nonprofit I run, we have intentionally created a safe space outside of the exam room for patients and providers to come together to share and witness one another's personal narratives. These events are called Healing Story Sessions, each featuring a patient speaker and a provider speaker who has been involved in the care of the patient. Our goal is to create a forum where both patient and provider can be human. In preparation, we work with each speaker individually to construct an empowering, authentic narrative using our research-based narrative guides. These events are powerful. They challenge the status quo by breaking down some of the traditional boundaries between patient and provider, though we do this with care and thoughtfulness in a contained setting. We never want the patient to feel burdened by learning personal details about a provider's life, and we are always mindful of this. In my experience, patients love hearing from their provider as a human being. I know I do. What I love most about these events is that the sharing changes the relationship going forward, typically in very positive ways. Through story sharing, trust and communication are enhanced. Uniformly, the patients and providers we have worked with have valued this experience tremendously. This news article was written by the BioNews Services staff on April 13, 2022. Click the link in the description below to read more on this and other topics of interest on the MS News Today's website. This is MS News Today's audio news. Subscribe to our channel to never miss an episode. And if you're listening on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts, hit save. Thanks for tuning in.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to Multiple Sclerosis News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. And be sure to follow us on social media and join our Multiple Sclerosis News Today forums, a trusted MS community ready to welcome you anytime.